Baghdad Wednesday night, killing at least 28 people, wounding close to 50, and leaving a huge crater. Americans, Britons, Egyptians, and other foreigners were among the guests at the Jabal Lebanon Hotel, which was hit just 3 days before the first anniversary of the start of the U.S. invasion to topple Saddam Hussein. Five smaller adjacent buildings were badly damaged, vehicles and trees were on fire, and flames jumped to nearby buildings. Bricks, air conditioners, furniture, wires, and other debris was blown hundreds of yards from the hotel. The blast shook the nearby Palestine Hotel, where many foreign contractors and journalists are based. U.S. soldiers trying to help pull bodies from the wreckage of the hotel were pushed back by angry Iraqis. Also Wednesday, insurgents used dynamite to attack an overpass on the main highway leading from Baghdad to Jordan, causing it to partly collapse and block one side of the road. The highway is regularly used by U.S. military convoys and allows them to avoid the adjacent service road that runs through Fallujah and Ramadi, two cities in the so-called Sunni Triangle, a hotbed of anti-occupation activity. U.S. troops come under repeated attacks whenever they pass through the two cities. Meanwhile, the White House was scrambling to keep its military coalition together after the Madrid bombings, with an offer to support a new UN mandate for keeping foreign troops in Iraq. The Bush administration issued an appeal Tuesday to the international community to stick with the Iraq occupation after incoming Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero pledged to pull his country's troops out of Iraq this summer if UN backing is not forthcoming. And in other Iraq news, the New York Times reported Wednesday that nearly a year after the war, U.S. military commanders are just beginning to reckon with the volume of Iraqi civilian casualties streaming in for assistance. The Times reported that twice a week at a center in Baghdad, masses of grief-weary Iraqis line up, some on crutches, some disfigured, some clutching photographs of smashed houses and silenced children, all ready to file a claim. Nonprofit groups in Iraq and the United States say there were thousands of civilian casualties, many more than in the recent conflict in Afghanistan or the Persian Gulf War of 1991. Haiti's new de facto government has drawn criticism even from political leaders who opposed ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Besides leaving out of the government Aristide's La Valasse family organization, newly selected Prime Minister Gerard Latourdieu also declined to include the Democratic Convergence Coalition, which was in the forefront of anti-Aristide demonstrations during the past months. Observers are noting that Democratic Convergence is made up mostly of moderate Aristide opponents, including social democrats, former socialists, and civic and women's groups. Coalition leader Misha Gaillard said Wednesday that the U.S.-backed government is partisan and risks further polarizing the population. Gaillard said that the new government cannot be called one of national unity, as the Prime Minister claimed. Meanwhile, in an interview published Tuesday, Aristide repeated his accusation that the United States committed a coup d'etat by forcing him out of his country. The ousted Haitian president told Amy Goodman of Radio Pacifica's popular Democracy Now! Program that before he left Haiti, Washington stripped him of his private personal security detail, which had been provided by the California-based Steele Foundation. Aristide said 19 agents who were guarding him in Haiti told him that U.S. officials ordered them to leave and to leave immediately. He said that another 25 agents who were supposed to reinforce the team were told that they could not leave the United States. U.S. experts previously acknowledged that Aristide was told that if he remained in Haiti, U.S. forces would not protect him from the rebels. French peacekeepers, meanwhile, began Wednesday setting up roadblocks to start a risky disarmament campaign in the Cité Soleil seaside slum in Aristide's stronghold, but there has been no move to disarm the former military dictatorship officers and death squad commanders who were decisive in toppling Aristide. You've been listening to Radio Havana, Cuba's news bulletin for this Wednesday broadcast. From our studios in Havana, I'm Langston Wright.